Oui.
22 stone rods up to a metre long, some flat, others cylindrical, are laid out on a table in the amphitheatre here at the Museum of Natural History. Paleomusicologist Eric Gontier is tuning them ahead of the Paleo Music Concert. He taps each one gently with a wooden mallet, rather like you would a xylophone or balafon.
The best. We call it Stradivarius. You can hear the two tones of this instrument. And the resonance is very long.
The musical stones are called lithophones, from the Greek words stone and sound. The oldest ones date back to 8,500 BC. Eric Gontier says our caveman ancestors didn't just paint caves and make tools, they also made music.
We imagine more often that these people were a little bit crazy, you know, because they are primitive. But in fact, no. We can prove now that they were creators. The stones were not so important for them, but probably the song of the stones were incredible.
The musical stones were carefully crafted and polished in what is now Burkina Faso, Niger and Côte d'Ivoire. They were found in the Sahara and many brought back by French troops stationed in colonies in the early 20th century. They then found a home in Paris's Museum of Mankind, where they were thought to be pestles used for grinding grains to make flour and so on. But in 2004, Eric Gontier discovered that some of them could emit sounds as pure as church bells.
I tried first to beat them with a hammer, and I didn't have a good sound. So I take some...
Stands, little pieces of foam or something,
yes,
to put them on.
Yeah. Yes, and I put the instrument on them. And after that, we had a very good resonance. So it was a new discovery. But to prove more about these stones, I had to go in Java Island in Indonesia. And in the Tabuhan Cave, I asked musicians of Javanese, and they play on the stalactite and stalagmites. And they were playing exactly on the same points like on the cylindric Neolithic lithophones from the Sahara.
Each cylindrical lithophone produces two sounds and was designed to be a transportable instrument, says Gontier.
These lithophones you can carry with you. Some were transported more than 1,500 kilometers. We know that because we have found the place where they make the instruments, and we could compare the different rocks. And so we can say that they were the first MP3 of the world. Because you transport with you a fantastic song.
It's a very strange thing to put all these tones together, to create a world, a special world for that.
French classical composer Philippe Fénelon took up the challenge of composing music based around the stones. He concentrated on writing rhythms for the four percussionists from the French National Orchestra to improvise on.
The four percussionists, they improvise only with rhythms. The mix of the rhythms makes something very special.
Percussionist Florent Jodelet.
It's a real adventure at first to discover these stones on the desk of the storage room of the museum, and then to learn to make them speak, sing. Yeah. All the percussion instruments break at some point. So, just imagine, these stones are incredibly old and they are still available here. I was thinking about the way men were living and then playing, perhaps, or communicating with tools like the stones. So, it's a special, special inspiration.
The delicatesse with which the percussionist played the stones convinced rather hesitant curators to let the concert go ahead in the first place. But there's no question of repeating it for fear of damaging French heritage, and the stones have now been laid to rest. Alison Heard, RFI, Paris.